They are people who need jobs, and they also have this beautiful vision for the world that they, on the wall at New Jerusalem, it says, we cannot fully recover until we help the society that made us sick recover. Mm. So there's this real deep sense of that we have to get at the root of what's causing so much addiction and seeing drugs as a replacement industry in our neighborhoods as well. So we are actively, you know, kind of resisting that.
Mm. Yeah,
and, you know, I would also say that a part of what our communities are identified, a lot of folks identify our communities as a new monasticism. And it's interesting because that's not language that we originally used or even that I use all the time, because it doesn't mean something to all of my neighbors. You know, if I'm like, we're new monastics, they're like, well, I know you're kind of nasty, but what, you know, and so it's like, what does it mean? But it is a very helpful lens for a lot of people that know church history to see what we're doing, not as something super Christian or extraordinary, but something that the Spirit does over and over throughout history, is at moments where the culture has really infected Christianity and you have all the Christian identity sort of gets lost. There are these groups of people that go to the margins and rethink what it means to be Christian. And in a lot of ways, the only reason that what we're doing looks radical is an indictment on the sort of Christianity that we've become accustomed to, because this is really what people have been doing with their Christian faith throughout history.
Right.
And monastics put together orthodoxy, like right belief, with orthopraxis, you know, right practices. And so we've tried to do that, and we have statements both of what we believe, but also how we live and the way that our beliefs work themselves out in practice. And it's great because a lot of Catholics get what we're doing. They're like, yeah, you're doing exactly what
you're
folks have done, you know, over and over.
So. Ultra-Orthodox. Yeah, and, I mean, it's true that monastic movements have tended to be kind of renewal movements that collected at the edges of tradition or outside traditions.
Yeah, right.
But I think also in a modern year, monasticism connotes, especially for people who may not have been very close to real monastic communities, it connotes kind of self-denial and celibacy and it is countercultural in that sense. How does that work in your, do you take vows? I mean, many monastics take vows of poverty, chastity, celibacy. Do you have anything like that?
We do have commitments that we make together, and people are at all different layers, just like within a monastic community. You have novices, you have folks that have taken full vows, that sort of thing. We have people that are journeying into that. So that's what's so exciting, too.
So you really are kind of developing a way of life, a system in a way. You probably don't like that word system,
exactly,
do you? Or do you mind the word system?
No, I love the idea of a way of life, because that's what the early church was called, you know, was the way, because they were providing a way that people could live differently. And the monastics often describe their communities as schools for conversion, that they were learning the process of conversion, and it's not something that happens all of a sudden.
No, and
there's
structure
so much
to it,
culturally. And so a lot of our community structures we describe a lot like the trellis of a garden. You know, if you don't have some structure, then your tomatoes rot on the ground, you know. But if you have too much, then it does the opposite of free life, and it sort of suffocates things. So we all kind of figure out that balance. And for us, we don't necessarily take the traditional vows, like the vow of poverty. When we began to talk about that with some of our neighbors, you know, in the Franciscan way of, we, you know, beloved poverty and the freedom of possessions, there's something beautiful in that, but there's also something that sort of reeks of privilege, because we said, we're taking a vow
because
of poverty.
Because it's a choice.
Like, have you been poor? You know, you don't want to take a vow of poverty. So we say to love our neighbor as ourself demands simplicity. So we have this idea that if we really love our neighbors across class and race and everything else that divides us, then redistribution is something that naturally happens out of that. But and the same with celibacy is we really honor both singles and married folks and you know, families with children. And there's not like this strict sense of you've got to do it this way. But I've always lived with married folks and, you know, and things like that. And I think what it frees us up to do is to allow ourselves to seek who the Spirit is cultivating us to be. As my monk friend tells me, he says, well, you got to figure out what makes you shine brighter. Do you shine brighter alone or with a partner? And he also says that we can live without sex, but we can't live without love. And there are plenty of people that have a heck of a lot of sex, but they don't have love.
You know, and there companionship.
And many folks that don't, you know, have sex at all, but they experience a deep sense of love. And so community frees us up to be a people where we can give ourselves for others. And then I think also, Krista, it kind of allows us to transcend a lot of the things that have divided the church over issues of sexual minorities and folks attracted to the same genders. We create communities where we are very, you know, welcoming of people on the journey of figuring out who they are. And if we can create a community where people are able to figure that out, then that's beautiful. And we don't all have to agree on this, you know, in the exact same way. And,
right.
and I think one of the best things that we can do is disagree well, and maybe more than just having a community that agrees on every doctrinal issue. A part of what we can really be a witness to is that we can disagree well, and that's just as beautiful.
That you can disagree well and that you can be Christian together? I mean, is that you are all living out this vocation together.
And that we're working out it out in really relational ways. Like I had so many views on homosexuality, and I didn't know anyone that was gay. You know, it's so sick. Yeah. And then I met a guy at college who was wrestling with his sexuality. He said, "I'm attracted to the same gender, and I feel like God made a mistake when God made me," and he wanted to kill himself over that. And I thought to myself, my God, if this guy can't find a home in the church, who have we become? You know, and what have we become? So I think we try to be people that magnetize folks that are figuring that out and that are marked by our own humility and brokenness.
Hmm.